from Moby Dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer, and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Yeah, it's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. But speaking of going fishing, telling lies, we have Captain Kale in the chair today. And charter boat captain, Captain Kale. I mean, yep. Doesn't that mean, like, you know, instantaneous, you figure it's not quite right?
No, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't. We don't put our pants on any different than anybody else.
I thought you put them on, took them off, and put them back on just so you could.
Well, sometimes I put them on backwards before that first Mountain Dew, but yeah. Other than that, I pretty much get them on just like everybody else.
Okay. So how's the fishing been?
Fishing's been great recently. Yeah. And it's only going to get better. We're coming up on a full moon phase, so.
So, you know, the one thing, it's been hot, it's been cold, it's been hot, it's been cold, it's been chilly,
yeah,
it's been overcast, it's been sunny.
We went through that last winter, and it made the fishing terrible, and I was really hoping we weren't going to get that this summer, or this winter, and it looks like we are.
El Nino is back.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, El Nino is definitely back big time.
Half days turn into full days sometimes because you want to see what happens after that tide change, okay, or after that wind drops or after the sky clears.
Well,
to help you with your next day.
Right. I'm going to go and try and adjust your headphones so you can move. But
no, I'm good.
Can you tell me, you were on a charter this morning. What happened?
We caught about 70 trout today.
Really?
Yeah, we did real well. My biggest fear was 2 days ago, the fish didn't act up until the tide changed. So we sat out there all morning swinging a miss and went back to the flats after the tide change, and we started catching a lot more fish. I mean, we put two, three limits of trout in the boat in two or three drifts. I mean, they really turned back on.
Sorry about that. I was trying to adjust Captain Dale's headphones, and so I walked to the other side of the room, and then I said, well, heck, as long as I'm over here, the coffee's
might
right
as well
there.
Get some
might
coffee.
Well get some coffee, too. So anyway, what was the part about the redfish? I didn't have my headphones on. I couldn't hear you.
The redfish have been spread way out on the east side, and you can get into the schools of little guys. You'll probably pull 20 or 30 out from underneath the same tree.
I've talked to three charter boat captains, and all three of them who were heading out in the water said, well, it's time to go catch some little redfish.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
rip the shrimp in half, little circle hook, and
everybody's
bang, bang, bang.
Unless you're sitting outside the bar,
right,
or outside the mangroves out on the flats, that's where all the boats are sitting in one spot fishing for trout.
Yeah.
Back inside the islands and keys, it's boats going everywhere. Because you hit that one spot, you look for a couple fish, and you move three islands away trying to find them.
Well, but from what I understand, the west side's been doing pretty good compared to the east for as far as keeper size versus rat size.
Much more consistent on
the
redfish.
I mean, not near as many redfish, but
but they're quality.
The ones you find are more likely to be slot limit. For some reason or another, they appeared and have moved into the east side, and it's just tons of rat reds.
Yeah.
And but it's still a lot of fun fishing. I mean, if you've got the right rod and reel, you know, a little bit lighter action of 4 to 10, and you have a lot of fun with those redfish.
I love schools of little redfish in the wintertime. They fight like redfish. Some of those little ones will fight better than your big ones in the summertime when they're already overheated.
Yeah, almost exhausted from the heat.
Heat,
and the lack
of oxygen.
Yep. So, anyway, you know, you're a big shark guy. I mean, you do tons and tons of shark trips. I mean, you're really, you know, well known for doing the sharks. Surprised how many sharks are in the harbor right now.
So am I. That makes two of us. And I kind of saw something happening. It was out there on the east side, bonnet heads everywhere.
Yeah.
Next day, bonnet heads gone.
Really?
The last three days.
I've been hearing a lot about bonnets on the beach.
Yeah.
Really from Cape Hayes through the Intercoastal and out on the outside of the islands.
Yep. Why?
You got me.
There's plenty of food on the flats for them to be there. Something's pushed them out, and that's what I figured it was. You've probably got some good-sized sharks hanging outside the bars. My guess is the sandbars have probably moved in, the sandbar sharks.
Well, Vinny caught that one nice shark. It was about 3-4 footer.
Yeah.
Good-sized shark. Not monster, but really nice size. Beautiful fish. Looked in the black tip type. I didn't get a chance to see it. You know, I saw a picture on the phone. That was it.
Gotcha. And it could be black tips. It could be bulls. It could be sandbars. Now, that's the problem. Tom in that Fisher, 3-4 foot range, they all look alike for the most part.
Fish is talking about a lot of bull sharks back up in Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, back on the flats, 3 feet of water. You got 4 foot sharks cruising those 3 feet of water back there.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Really wouldn't surprise me.
You seen any of those on the east side?
I had a suspicion the other day. Just a weird wake moving through the water.
Oh, I was going to say, what was it? And the hairs in the back of your head stood up. You had this itchy feeling. There's a shark in there.
I kind of looked, you know, like a dolphin. But usually when the dolphin is in that shallow water.
Oh, they hump up.
Yeah, it's got that hump. Yeah. And it's got that dolphining. And yeah. It wasn't. It was just a straight shot. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy season so far. The weather's here definitely much nicer than anywhere else in the country.
I'll tell you the other thing that's really bugging me.
Go ahead.
Is the lack of stingrays that I'm seeing.
But they're not supposed to be here this time.
But you usually see a good number of them that stay. And it's
5-10% of the total will hang out
one
here.
Or two within the last 2 weeks that I've seen on the east side.
It's pretty normal when it gets chilly, though. I mean,
turtle in on the east side today, eating grass on the bottom.
Oh, yeah, sea turtles?
Yep.
Yeah, but it's nice and chilly for him, very comfortable, and there's very, very little fresh water left in the harbor.
Yeah, so, and he was in, we floated right over top of him, and he'd care less.
Yeah.
He moved a couple feet, sat back down, started eating again.
Yeah, sea turtles are so cool, and you get the big loggerheads, and we have the other type that I don't remember off the top of my head. But
it was the other type. Yeah. They kind of look like a miniature loggerhead.
Yeah, they're really cool markings, really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the loggerhead is neat, but it's so cumbersome. And this one's
and
a little
plain.
Sleeker.
They're plain.
Yeah, this one has better coloring, yeah. More markings.
And as clear as that water was on the east side, you could see them as clear as day. So
that has to be
cool. It is cool. It's something that I've never seen on the east side in the grass.
Well,
like
we had a
that.
Guy catch one at Lashley Pier the other day.
Really?
Yeah, he was popping cork, working for trout and whatever else, and he said he threw it out there and he went to do something and had the rod sitting there, and all of a sudden it just kind of moved real weird. He said it wasn't like a fish.
Yeah.
And up he brings this turtle slash loggerhead type. And so he walked it down the end, got to the seawall, got the hook out and everything, and let him go. Everything was all good. But, crazy. And catching one at Lashley Pier.
That's, you never see him up there.
No, but with no rain, beautiful water temps. Have you noticed the water temp lately?
It's sitting in the 70-degree area.
That's what I was thought, which is perfect for almost everything.
Yeah.
Almost everything. I mean,
the redfish upriver have really been coming alive. A lot of reports of guys trolling up there catching big redfish.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
I should have added that because I haven't heard anything about upriver outside of some rats and whiting ladyfish, you know, stuff like that. And I'll bet you they're all almost up by the Navigator, though.
They were up in front of your house.
Really? Out in Harbor Heights?
Yep. Yep.
I'll be darned. I'll have to go out and give it a shot. Yeah. Because if they're up in that area, they're under those docks right along there.
They're actually out in front of them.
Really?
Trolling the deep trench out in front of the docks.
Okay, life is getting a little too weird. Oh, well. What are they using to troll up there? You heard?
The Storm Twitch Sticks and the smaller size bombers.
Wow.
Gold.
Yeah. Who would have thought? I would have never thought you'd get past the trout and stuff with those to get the redfish.
No, or the catfish.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to be the only place the catfish are right now is up there, because I've been on the east side for the last 3 weeks, and I've caught 3 or 4 catfish, and that's it.
Wow. So, life isn't all bad.
No, we've been having great days out there. The trout are, I can't really say going downhill. You know, it's we're starting
Trump
to get
should be just well before off the hook.
Before it was quality,
right?
And now we're getting into quantity. And for a good instant between the two, there was a lot of big trout out there, and now they're starting to see the little 7 to 10 inchers schooled up,
and the 10 to 12 inchers,
the 14 and a halfers out there.
Yeah.
So
now I'm wondering, somebody asked me about that, where did the big trout go? And I said, well, you know, the most likely thing is they hit so readily that people cull off the big ones. They take them home.
Yeah, quickly.
You
quickly. Yeah, and I try to limit it as much as I can, but in the last 2 weeks, I think I've pulled 7 or 8 limits of trout out.
Right.
That's 28 to 32 trout gone.
Right, but I mean, it's all with different people.
Yeah, yeah, and it's they're going to get
caught like
off
me.
Quick.
You don't eat a lot of trout.
No, I actually do like them.
Yeah.
They're one of my favorite fish. Me and
Barb's
oldest son went out and we brought home a nice redfish and 3 trout for dinner.
There you go. See, I'm not a big trout eater. I don't know why. I like redfish, love snook, all these other fish, sand bream, mullet, and all that. But just can't get around the flavor on the trout.
Really, I like them more than I do redfish.
Yeah.
They're a lot more mild than a redfish.
Yeah, but I guess now we're still getting into like strawberry or vanilla or chocolate or raspberry. You know,
yeah.
It's a flavor issue, not a quality issue.
I think a lot of people turn their nose at them before they even try them, and I was guilty of that too.
Well,
if it looks like a rainbow trout, then by God, it must taste like a rainbow trout.
Oh, it tastes nothing
and
like a freshwater
I
trout.
I am trouted out.
Yeah, there is nothing. There
is no
comparison between
a
freshwater trout
ever.
And a saltwater trout. They look similar, but the taste, the meat,
which
everything.
Which is a shame,
really
because
different.
If they tasted like rainbow trout, there'd be
a lot bigger trout
out there.
Yeah, I'd never eat one. The only time I like eating freshwater trout is when I'm way up in the mountains, like 10,000, 14,000 feet up, fly fishing on some little stream, got a campfire, cook them over the campfire, and
past trout that if I catch trout in the mountains, I'm using it for bear bait. I'd rather eat the bear.
No, I agree with you, but eating the bear is good, but that's the one place I really love trout. It's just like I grew up as a kid, flay out a slab out of bluegill, you know, knock most of the scales off, put a stick through the back of the fillet, hang it over the campfire.
Yeah,
you know, that to
I've
me
done
is
that
bluegill.
So many times with trout that it's just, I can't do it anymore.
Well, you know, I would, like I say, when you're up there, especially like Henry Mountain, because you're up at 14,000, you come out of the tree line, and then you go into the bowl of an extinct volcano, and there's a lake in there. And they stock it with cutthroats and stuff and come in by helicopter or something with them. I don't know. But you can only get there walking or by horseback.
Yeah.
And I was lucky to go up horseback a couple times. And when you're way up there and it's cold and it's clear and you got the fire going, and oh, yeah, that's cool stuff. But, you know, it's too high up for even bears. I mean, you're 14,000 feet. You got very few bugs even up there.
Yeah. But the fish don't care.
No, the fish don't care at all. They're in the lake.
Yeah, they thrive in it.
Yeah. And, you know, me, I was much younger, but I was still a smoker. It's still kind of... that's not a lot of air up there.
Yes.
Okay.
It's hard when you're in shape.
Now, tell me how you've been catching a trout. What's the lures you've been catching on?
We've been catching a lot on... We've been catching a lot on shrimp under a popping cork. We went out specifically for artificials only.
But I'm going to interject with, I've seen pictures you posted, and that was a DOA tandem, because it was two trout.
Yep, 2 trout hanging off that guy.
If you're throwing a DOA tandem, right now that DOA tandem, my opinion, is the number one lure for trout, because you can work it shallow, you can work it deep, and it's 2 jigs suspended from a single
line.
So you've got a swivel and it goes down and 2 jigs are on it.
Right. And it threw me for a while. I mean, I've been out there throwing the Zaraspook and the 17MR.
You're leaving?
I've been throwing...
Bye, Terry.
Bye, Terry. I've been throwing the Zaraspook, the 17MR, the new Flats Rattle Trap. And
how's the fishing Frank Rattle Trap do for
great.
You?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Twitching
trout seem to like
you
it
do
too.
The mirror lure.
Yeah, same exact motion as you do with a mirror lure.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud of that one because to take an old lure and give it new tricks.
Yeah.
And the rattle trap catches a lot of fish, but impossible to use on the flats.
Yeah.
You just can't.
When,
now you can.
When the tide's up, I'll go to the storm twitch stick.
Yeah.
Which, you're not really setting the hook. They do it for you when they hit it. So, going to the tandem rig today, I mean, I probably missed more than I caught.
Well, the problem
is, it's a different feel.
You have to hop that lure.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're moving your rod upward. And not at all to the side, upward. And so when you lower the rod tip, the lure's falling in the water, and they think it's going to hide in the bottom, so they always hit it
right at the bottom
of the stroke.
Was that grass?
And
or was that a fish?
You're coming up, and all of a sudden, you've got a fish.
And it took me a while to get my walleye reflexes back, but they came back, and
we
started producing. Well, we would fish for walleye the same way. a jig head with Mr. Twister on it. With a nightcrawler tip.
Right.
And we same thing. You just hop it down the ledge, cast toward shore, and hop it out deeper. And normally the walleye would hit it on the drop.
And so you don't know you got the hit until all of a sudden you're lifting for the next jig.
Right. And you kind of, what we would do with the walleye is you wouldn't twitch it real quick at first. You just lift it up and get your line tight and see if there was any tension there. Because the walleye would grab it and sit there with it in his mouth. And the trout were doing the same thing. So instead of just getting that big twitch, you would just tighten your line to feel it.
Sorry about that, my Toyota, my Tundra. You know, I buy a Toyota, 2007 Toyota, 45,000 miles.
Yep.
Supposed to be, like, last forever, unless I buy it. I park it at the store. I was going in the music stand. I was getting some drum stuff for the band.
Right.
I come back out, and there's this whole puddle of red stuff.
That's not good.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
It's not good when your truck's bleeding.
Right. My truck is bleeding, so up to Murdoch Tire, and they just called and said my truck's done. It was
an oil cooler line.
That's exactly what it was, the oil cooler line.
Yep.
Yeah. I think the fan clipped it. Actually, what he said was the fan belt was coming apart. Because it sat for so long.
Right.
Because if it's a 2007 with 45,000,
it sat.
So the fan belt was coming apart and threw a piece of the fan belt through the hose.
Wow. Well, at least, you know, you didn't break anything and it found another problem. But
I should have known because when I pulled into the parking lot to go into the music stand, I was going in and talking to Dave and I heard something that sounded like playing card on the bicycle spokes.
Yeah.
I heard something going. Brrr. I'm like, what the heck is that? I popped the hood, looked, nothing. Couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
And closed the hood, come back out, and there's all this red stuff all over the ground. My truck's bleeding.
That's not good.
Thank God.
Never
for,
good.
Thank God for Jimmy.
So, yeah.
Anyway, my vehicle's. Maybe you can give me a ride. So.
Yeah, we could probably do that.
Anyway, back to where we were with the fishing. The tandem rigs are so cool. Because of the chasing activity. But like you say, tough to use at first, but give it a try. Right now, if you're back on the flats, you can work that tandem, keeping your rod tip up a little bit higher. You can work it through the shallows. If you're in places like Alligator Creek, cast it out, and you got 6-8 feet of water, count to 4 or 5 before you start bringing it up. You're going to have to go down a little bit with them.
Yeah, but the nice thing is if you are in deep water and the trout are suspended, which they'll sometimes do in Alligator Creek.
Oh, yeah.
You can just throw it out and retrieve it with a twitching action like you would a twitch bait, and they work just as well.
I'll be darned. So, yeah, I'm real impressed with the DOA tandem. It used to be all about the love lure.
Yeah.
But to be quite honest, it's not that way anymore. DOA is right now ruling the world of double lure.
They are.
And when I looked at it, I said, this thing's going to tangle like a... I mean, it's going to be a nasty tangle.
I thought the same thing.
And you're throwing those two jigs all day. I think I had one tangle. And no problems. It throws easy, works easy.
Yep.
And the other thing I'm into is the DOA Deadly Combo, that big clacker oval float.
Yeah, but you get to catch trout two at a time.
Yeah. I mean, you're bringing it in. You got the one. You're fighting him. Don't fight him fast. Don't try and water ski him to the boat, and you'll get your second one.
Take it easy.
Give him just a little bit of time till you get the second fish hooked up.
I felt that those two hit, and it was thump thump,
really
that quick, because we were sitting there in a hole where it's just chock full of little trout,
right?
And they were all between 7 and 14 inches, and it was, I mean, I was pulling the mirror lure, and there'd be five of them following it to the boat. Right. All right, let's grab the tandem, and we'll start running through these guys.
Yeah, it's amazing when you're out there and you see a school of trout coming up, and no matter what you're throwing, whatever lure it is, take it off, put a DOA tandem on there, and you're just going to have a ball. And if you got guests down from up north, this is one of the most fun aspects of doing it.
Now,
keep in mind, trout is very heavy, very hardy catch and release fish if handled with a wet rag, a wet hand, a wet anything. Anything dry is going to kill that fish.
Absolutely.
So no dry on a trout. It's just bad form. It's bad for you. It's bad for everything. If you want your friends to keep coming down and having the most amazing day fishing they've ever had.
You got to handle them right.
And you're in a boat on the water. You have a bait bucket. You have a live well.
Yeah. Wet your hands. It's not hard.
Or if you like using a rag, there's nothing wrong with handling a fish with a rag as long as that rag is wet.
Yeah.
As soon as that rag is dry, don't feel good about yourself. You're killing fish.
Yeah, and I don't even like handling them with a wet rag. I would much rather leave them in the water, pop the hook out of them when they're small.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody's got their own way of doing it. The only thing, and I'm guilty, just like everybody else, you know, grab the fish, let him go, and go, oh, man, look at all that slime on my hand. And I know a 50-50 shot that fish died.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally
especially with the trout.
But if you handle them with a wet rag, you got 99% they live. I mean, the odds go up 40-some-odd percent, almost to the point where it's the perfect catch-and-release fish, which I would have never suspected about trout. Never, because...
Well, they get known for being weak.
But they're not. They're really actually very tough.
Yeah, it's... I can see why they got that misnomer. Because there were so many of us out there handling fish wrong and not realizing that we're doing it wrong. And,
that's why you listen to Radio Fishing and find out the skinny on the trout.
Yeah.
So, anyway, other than that, have you been getting anything else on the flats?
We were getting bonnethead for a while, but like I said, they've moved out.
Right.
A lot of big ladyfish out there on the east side flats.
Now, I was talking earlier on the other radio fishing show. Sent them out there with the DOA deadly combo poppers and just wrecked them.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is right now where you're going to have guests and you're going to have some of the best days you've ever had. But let's see. The trout flats, ladyfish, and ladyfish, the only problem with getting ladyfish on a tandem rig is they are so energetic, so colossally crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't want two of them on a tandem rig.
Because the one's going to jump in the air and the other one's going to jump over the top of it and they're going to be swimming underneath each other around. Amazing, don't get too many horrific tangles with it, but it's the one fish, if you're going to get tangled, that's going to be it.
Yeah. The thing that blows my mind with the ladyfish, throwing that 17MR, you've got two treble hooks. Trout very rarely miss it.
Right.
Ladyfish have to hit it 13 times.
Oh, yeah.
How they can miss those treble hooks is beyond me.
I have no idea. I can't. You can't put your hand anywhere close to it and not be stuck on a hook.
No.
But yet they can grab it with their mouth and let it go before.
I don't get it.
You know, the only thing I could think of is I think they hit from over the top. They might come down.
It could be.
Instead of trying to grab it from underneath the way normal fish was, I almost suspect ladyfish come down on their bait, you know, like in a from the above down, which would grab the top of the lure.
It makes sense because if you watch the trout, and that's why I like going out there on sunny days.
Right.
Yeah, you know, as far as the fishing goes, I don't care if it's sunny or overcast. For my own pleasure, I prefer it to be sunny so you can see that big gold streak of that trout coming up out of the grass. and you'll see them come from underneath and turn sideways.
Right.
You don't see the ladyfish flash. You won't see a white stripe from the ladyfish. So
really?
There could be something to what you're what you're saying about them coming from the top.
And
if they come from the top, you're not going to see that dark
right
stripe, you know, that dark top that's going to blend in with the grass.
Now, mind you, for those listeners, that is a frankism. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a truism. That's just something that kind of deducting from right. how they, why a jig they hook up fairly good with, but with a any kind of hardback lure, they really have to hit it. You get a lot of hits before you get that strike.
Well, when you filter out all the bull, what's left is usually the truth.
Yeah, Occam's razor. So, anyway, as we get back through this, anything else? Oh, the one thing about today was a little different. You were on somebody else's boat. You
on somebody
on
else's
your
boat.
What's the story behind
and
that?
And it's a good client of mine. He comes down every 2 months or so, and he books me every time he's down to fish on his boat. It's now, usually educational trips.
But this is a fairly good money-saving thing. It's about half the price of a regular charter because they
yeah.
don't have to pay for the boat. They're
right.
providing the boat.
Right, right. Half the price of my normal charters. Go on your boat and teach you harbor fishing 101 or teach you the harbor itself if you're a new boater or new to the area. I hesitate to say we have a dangerous body of water. We do have a challenging body of water.
That would be the correct way, because
especially,
it's the safest place in the
yeah,
world to
it
go
really
boating.
Is. It really is.
All you're going to do is run aground. You're
right.
going to
hit
sand.
You're
going to
hit
mud,
sand. You're not hitting rocks.
Or yeah, there's no rocks and all that stuff.
Right.
Or, you know, leave it to Carl. He's the only one who can find a rock yeah. in Charlotte Harbor. One in 40 years.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day, and I think I know what he hit.
What do you think he hit?
One of those old tidal markers.
It could be. I'm almost thinking somebody, you know, it's amazing to me how many people drop their anchor but never tie it off to the boat.
Yes.
Like they have a friend on the boat who's
sure.
out with them, and they say, okay, throw the anchor in, and they take the anchor and throw yep. it over, and yep. 2 minutes later, they're going, didn't you put the anchor in? Oh, yeah, I threw it over. Did you yep. tie it off?
Well, there's
well, you didn't tell me to tie it.
Well, there's a handful of those tidal markers, those old tidal markers down the west side.
Yeah, but they're usually pretty close up on the bank.
Yeah, I found two of them real yeah. close to the bank.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any out in the water. You know, there could be, but
could
there'd be no reason to put them there. When they put them on land, they can find them again, and it shows the fluctuation from shore.
Right.
But out on the water,
and that's the weird thing.
They didn't have a GPS.
The ones that I found on shore weren't near anything. Not to say there wasn't something there 100 years ago.
What do you mean, weren't near anything?
They weren't near any shore access.
No, not shore access, just near the shore.
Yeah.
Usually within a foot to 2 foot of the shoreline you can see. And what you see is kind of like a mound hard that they placed in there, like a pedestal.
It is. They're about 6 inches by 6 inches. And they've got a bronze or brass medallion
yeah.
on the top of them.
And that's set to a very specific height.
Right.
And that's how they check how much more water we had. And what's funny is they were probably at the water level back then, and I almost
yeah.
always underwater now.
Yeah, the one I found with a really, really dead low tide, and it was about an inch underwater.
Yeah, and I would
yeah,
say...
And it was one of those, I'm on the trolling motor, and the heck was that?
yeah. But the old tidal stuff, that was usually set at mean low tide.
Right.
And nowadays, I would say since the 40s or 50s, we've gained several inches of water
yeah.
ocean-wise. When they talk about sea level rise, they're not kidding, folks. This is not something they're making up. I think the most drastic thing I ever saw with that was I saw a painting from, I think it was Da Vinci or one of them, of in Venice with a gondola boat coming up. And there was people getting off of the gondola, and there was a set of steps going up to the top, and
right.
they were at the bottom of the stairs, and boat was just below the steps, and I saw a picture, and somebody was doing it to show the rise in sea level, and the top step is covered with water now.
Right.
And that's several feet up, and that was since
well, yeah.
the 1500s or 1400s, whenever Leonardo da Vinci was alive, I don't remember.
It's not something we need to panic about or blame on something.
Hundreds of years.
Millions of years ago, Florida was underwater.
And for 10,000 years, it was way above water.
Right.
The land went out.
It changes. Imagine that.
Yeah. Imagine that. So, anyway, something changes? I mean, oh, goodness.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the real world. You been hearing about any other fish around?
Snook have been in the canals absolutely going off because of the full moon. And it's, if you guys want to get out and catch snook in the canals, you do it tonight, you do it tomorrow night. We're looking at over 2 foot tides. Tomorrow morning's tide from 2 in the morning on to 6 o'clock in the morning is 2.5 feet.
About 10 minutes, I'm doing a radio show right now. Oh, no problem. I'll call you back in about 10 minutes, okay? Bye-bye. Sorry about that. Anyway, what was that?
We're seeing almost a 2.5 foot tide from 2 o'clock in the morning on.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing
so
water exchange.
This is tons of water moving through those canals, and now's the time to get out there and hit those dock lights for snook.
Oh, yeah, at nighttime, it's a great time for going snook fishing and all that. Everything's going off pretty good. But I think we're out of time with that phone call. I've got to get going.
Got to get going. Gym's going to close.
Yeah, so, it's getting right up there to that time. So, anyway, boys and girls, thank you for listening to Radio Fishing. Captain Kale. Captain Kale in the chair across from me. If you click Kale's picture, it's going to take you to his website. You can hire him to go out on his boat, and he can take easily 1 to 6 people. He's got a big barge and a really, very comfortable to fish out of. And or you can hire Kale to go on your boat and show you where to go and what to do and have fun catching fish with Captain Kale.
Absolutely.
And either way, have a good time. And let's see, catchphrase. I need a catchphrase. Catch you again later.
There you go.
This is Fish and Frank. How was that?
That was good. That was actually good off the hip there.
Okay. Catch you again later. This is Fish and Frank. Captain Kale in the chair across from me. Catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.